Hello and welcome back to another episode of the EV Life podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Maharaj, and I'm joined by Hannah Neal Robertson, who is the producer of the podcast.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about today's episode?
Yeah, so today we are talking to Franzi Churchenthaler from Create Solar. He's an engineer there, and he's going to share a little bit about off-grid charging with us, what that means in the context of charging your EV at home, off the grid, and everything that surrounds that.
Yeah, and it's a topic that we really haven't covered at all in the podcast before, and I had some questions around what off-grid charging even means, because that can mean a lot of things. When I think of off-grid, I think of like a cabin in the woods, and I think he kind of mentions that that's traditionally what people think of when they hear off-grid. This is a little bit different.
Yeah, so he'll talk about the different off-grid charging solutions that are available for EV owners and how it works, you know, the functionalities and how it differs from maybe using your electric grid to charge your vehicle.
So yeah, so we'll be talking to Franzi about that in just a minute. And just a reminder, if you want to talk to us about anything that you hear in this episode or any other episode, make sure to connect with us in the EV Life group on the AMA mobile app. Hannah Neal and I are both in there, and we're always looking forward to hearing what you all think about the episodes. So without further ado, let's jump into my interview with Franzi. I'm joined by Franzi Churchenthaler, who is an engineer at Create Solar. Hi, Franzi. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. So can you start off by telling our listeners a little bit about Create Solar and what your role is there?
Yeah, sure. Create Solar is a company based in Kelowna, BC. We're kind of an R&D and cutting edge solar integration and net zero integrator. Our primary project is we're building a 300-acre solar village. We're going to have 40 homes on here, and they're all going to be future forward, you know, all with solar integration and battery power and lots of EV chargers.
I've never heard of that before. Will this be the first of its kind in Canada, or are there other solar villages out there?
To a limited extent, there is some, but they're all kind of thrown together. Ours is, we've been planning it for 3.5 years now, and we've got another 4 years till it's completely finished. And so, yeah, for what we're doing, it's going to be the first in Canada, possibly the first in the world with, you know, we're having semi-grid integration and then the ability to be completely off-grid and, you know, having high-speed EV chargers and everything directly from the solar panels. And people have done this all, but never to this extent.
Very interesting. And so you were saying that your role is an engineer with Create Solar.
I'm a solar engineer and the partner in the company. And basically, I do all of the solar electrical work and most of the engineering management.
So you mentioned off-grid charging, and I wanted to talk to you today about off-grid charging for EVs specifically. And can you just explain, first of all, what that even means and how it differs from using the electric grid to charge your car?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good question, because the saying off-grid has to be qualified basically a little bit in this specific application. Off-grid could mean completely off-grid, so that there's no, you're like a cabin in the woods, right?
Right.
In this aspect, you know, off-grid kind of just means charging, from what I understand and what we typically do, is charging your EV completely free of the grid, even though you're still connected at your house.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few different ways to go at it. You can have systems that have solar panels on the roof of your house and are connected to the grid, and then you offset your cost of EV charging, because you just plug it in and it doesn't make a difference whether you pull it from the grid or pull it from the solar panels. It just uses the energy where it's available. And then the other way of doing it off grid would be still having it at your house and then having a system that only charges your EV from the solar panels. You know, there's advantages and disadvantages to both, but that's kind of the high level of this application.
Right. So really there's two ways that you can go. So basically you would have solar panels. So you're contributing electricity to the grid. So regardless of where you're pulling your energy from to charge your car, it's still off grid because you're contributing to that overall electricity. And then there is the separate charging, I don't know what you would call it, charger?
It would look the same from the outside, basically, but there's some electronics and you know, some equipment that you have to put in line with it that would basically make sure that it only charges your EV when there's solar energy. it's hard to, this is all very new, so it's hard to even qualify the word for it. Maybe someone will come up with an exact word for it, but off-grid is kind of the closest that, you know, we have right now.
Right. And so you said that there are benefits and downsides to either of those. Can you just maybe share a little bit more about what some of the benefits are and maybe some of the downsides to either of those options?
So from a high level, it really depends on where you're at in the world. In Alberta, specifically, it's a very unique situation. You know, there you can have it's deregulated energy markets, right? And so depending on what provider you go with, but the cost of energy can go up and down all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a system where it's net metering, where you sell back to the grid, you know, you could take advantage of the fact that you're getting more money for your power in certain times, but it's also the disadvantage of the fluctuations that have happened, especially recently in Alberta. It's a gamble either way when it comes to that. However, the nice thing is the advantage of having it connected to the grid and to your EV and basically just running your EV off the house is you can charge your car at nighttime then, right? When sometimes the power is lower. There's no time of use in Alberta yet, but it's coming. You know, typically what happens is, you know, in California, it's cheaper to charge a car at night.
Right.
And so the sun doesn't shine at night. So the advantage then is you can charge a car then and then make the money and then get maximum dollar for your solar panel power during the day.
Right.
So financially, it might make more sense. But having a system that is completely off-grid and just charges your car, well, for one, you're doing better things for the environment.
Right.
And cost-wise, while I was doing that, I just wanted to see for myself as well to see what, in Alberta, what it would be. And based on the projections for electricity prices and the cost of fuel and the projections, and then I did a solar panel system that was about $15,000 to install and then levelized the cost of energy over 30 years. And basically, it looks really good to charge it just off solar panels. So for a car, you're spending about, $3,500 a year in fuel, and then for charging it off your house based on the cost of electricity going up and up and up over the next 10 years, I mean the projections are to be at 30 cents, you're costing about $800 to $900 a year. If you charge it off your solar panels directly, it's about $75.
Right, so there's a significant difference between the cost but also your emissions if you're using a completely off-grid charger for your car. But you said again, like the downside is you're reliant on the sun.
Yes, you're reliant on the sun. And the one thing that it makes a lot of sense to just completely use your panels to charge it. But the caveat is, where's your car going to be throughout the day when it's sunny? Are you going to drive to work?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not at home with your solar panel to charge it, right?
Right. So those are things that you really need to consider when you're thinking of installing an off-grid EV charger, right? It's where you are at the time of day when you would get the most sunlight.
Exactly. And the other thing is, too, is like if you want to size it so that you have enough power every day to drive, say, 50 kilometers or 100 kilometers, you really have to figure out your use case scenario. And, you know, if you need to charge every day in the winter, you have to have a significantly larger system if you want to completely stay off-grid. And you also kind of go up there and shovel the snow off.
Right.
It snows on your panels, right?
So what about battery storage, though, right? Because I could be storing the energy that I'm accumulating from this.
Absolutely.
Right. So is that what you mean when you say like you need a larger system for the winter time? Are you referring to battery storage?
Yeah, exactly. That was the next point. That's a great question. You've also got the option of putting battery storage in. You don't have to shovel the snow off for a few days if you don't want to.
Right.
But also, if it's overcast or if you say you need to go and use your car for 3 hours in the middle of the day, right, when you'd normally be charging it, the battery storage will give you a buffer zone, right?
Okay.
But also, at the same time, you don't want to have so many batteries because batteries are really expensive still.
Yes.
And you don't want to do overkill because it just doesn't make sense. When it comes down to it, if you're going to put in batteries, ideally, you don't want to use them just for that purpose. You know, you want to have backup power for your house in case the power goes out.
Right.
Ideally, you want to have a whole integrated system. I did some calculations for that. And if you build a system to the size, say, between 5 and 10 kilowatts, which is for the average house size, and say you drive between 50 and 100 kilometers a day on your EV, your price per kilometer, if you're doing just solar panels, is about 1 cent. per kilometer. And if you're charging off the grid, it's costing you about 5 cents. But if you use a combination of solar panels, and then when there's not enough sun, you just back up with the grid, right? Mm-hmm. We actually sell some of these, we've developed some of these inverter charge controllers that have that capability of deciding when and where you want to do it. You can enter all the information and it will basically smart charge it.
Right.
When you do that, your cost only incrementally more, I'd say about 2 cents per kilometer. So you're getting the benefits of the solar panel system and not being stuck to just that.
Right.
That's kind of the best solution, is having a smart system, basically. Mm-hmm. Having something that they have AI that we program into it, and it makes the decision for you. And it even can update with live energy costs too.
Yeah. So if you have time of use charges, then you're also charging when the cost is a little bit cheaper. We don't have that right now in Alberta, but
even if you've got a variable rate too, you know, for like some businesses, you can get not the bulk electricity price, but the fluctuating price. It can update it with that and then decide where to put the power.
Yeah. Interesting. So other than solar power charging, though, I'm curious to know if there are other off-grid charging solutions for EV owners.
It depends on your location stuff, but I mean, there's small wind. And I mean, Alberta's pretty good for that. I mean, Alberta's good for solar too. It's the sunniest province.
It is pretty sunny.
And when it's cold, it's still sunny. And that's when solar panels are the most efficient. Mm-hmm. It's when it's really cold and really sunny.
Sorry, are you able to elaborate a little bit on that? Why is it more efficient when it's cold out?
The easiest way to explain it is simple physics, is when something is cooled down, the electricity has less resistance running through a wire.
Okay. You know? I didn't know that.
So it's basically like that. Alberta is really unique that way. It's cool.
Yeah.
Wind energy in Alberta is very prominent as well. And so that's an option. But the thing is, for a homeowner, you have to have extra permits, and it's a lot more difficult to, you know, put a wind turbine, mini wind turbine up in your property. But if you are actually off-grid, and that's something I haven't touched on yet, like actually off-grid, you know, say a cabin in the woods, or say you've got a farm or an acreage and you're way off somewhere, then the wind's not a bad idea, supplemented with solar. That's kind of a 1-2 punch, because, you know, a lot of times the wind energy is the highest at night,
right?
And the solar is the highest in the day. So you kind of, it's a good leveling out system. But for the average homeowner, it's not really an option.
How do you see off-grid charging evolving in the future?
Also a great question. We're at a very exciting time. The way things are going, from what I see, we're all trying to go net zero or carbon neutral. You know, most jurisdictions are. But one thing that is kind of like a double-edged sword is everyone's getting EVs now, right? To make sure we don't use gas and pollute. But that means the demand on the grid is going up like crazy, right? And that changes all sorts of parameters. For instance, the transmission system or the distribution system. You know, most of Canada was, and a lot of America was built in the 60s and 70s. And so the power lines basically are aging. And putting an extra 30% of power on there is going to cost a lot of money in infrastructure. So one of the things that is at the very forefront right now for, say, off-grid EV charging with solar and things is bidirectional charging with the EV battery. It's called V2H, or vehicle-to-home, two-way charging. And so what happens is you can then plug in your car, and should the grid need extra power, it uses some of the energy out of your car, and then it returns it when it's more effective. And you can upload your use case scenario. I need my car this and then, and it's going to be plugged in here and here. And that's kind of the next step, because then it takes the strain off of the grid, because then you're using your power locally and generating it locally off the solar panels. And then you've got local backup. And instead of using the grid to generate the power way far away, send it all the way down the line, lose all the efficiency, and then it costs more. So that's kind of, I see the future of what it is. Well, one of my little pet projects on the side is we're building a net zero tiny home solar cabins. And the idea is, like, you have this cabin and you drive your car out to it, and it's all high efficiency, and then you plug your car in, and then you run the lights in your cabin, right?
Right.
And then you drive home.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. And then, and the nice thing is, you're there for 3 days, let's say, at a cabin, and then the solar panels shine during the day, and then they can charge your car because you're not using it. It's just sitting there, right?
Right. So
it's a lot different than landscape than before, you know, where you just put gas in the car.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, this was such a great conversation, Franzi. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
That was my conversation with Franzi Churchenthaler, engineer at Create Solar. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to connect with me again, you can do so in the EV Life community on the AMA mobile app. And until next week, we'll talk to you then.